Right before that song, All of a Sudden, and I even forgot those words were coming, so I was like, after her, I was like, I'm glad I picked it up first, so I knew it wasn't my flesh. But I felt like in the spirit, like you can see it, but you feel it more than you see it. I felt like the sky was a big bubble and it was pressing down, like it's so full, like a fishnet. And it's so close. It's not like it came from the third heaven, but now it's in the second heaven and it's close to us. So what is it all of a sudden? What is it? And the Lord said, it's everything you've prayed for and then some. So everything we prayed for, our children, our health, our finances, it's all that plus more.
Hallelujah. Now I'm concerned because the last time Dawn and Scott didn't show up, something bad happened. And I don't know. And Isabel is always here too, so. Who? Oh, they were? Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that. Huh? Check my phone and see if there's a text there. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to, that scripture that she was reading out of, I don't know if that was from the Passion or not, but I got the same, but I started with Revelation 5:7. It says, I saw the young lamb approach the throne and take the scroll from the right hand of the one who sat there. And when the 24 elders and the four living creatures saw the lamb had taken the scroll, they fell face down on the feet of the lamb and worshiped him. Each of them had a harp and a golden bowl brimming full of sweet, fragrant incense, which are the prayers of God's holy lovers. And they were all singing this new song of praise to the Lamb. Because you were slaughtered for us, you were worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Your blood was a price paid to redeem us. You purchased us to bring us to God. Out of every tribe, language, people group, and nation, you have chosen us to serve our God and formed us into the kingdom of priests who reign on the earth. And then it says, worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive great power, might, wealth, and wisdom, honor, glory, and praise. Praise, honor, glory, dominion, to be God enthroned into Christ the Lamb forever and ever. Glory to God. And when she was saying, it says myriads, or myriads, I don't know for sure how to say that, but that means when you see that, that's 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands of thousands, literally, of angels. That's 110 million angels. Myriad, is that how you say it? Wow, when I read that, that's incredible. Hallelujah. Wow. I know a lot of people invited people today and they didn't show up. And it's okay. It's okay. Everything okay at your house, Brad? Mom? Everything okay? Okay, good. All right, let's receive our tithes and offerings right now. If you need an envelope or if you want to give to a credit or debit card, just turn around at the desk. And don't step on Paul. There you go. How are you feeling this morning, Annette? Okay, good. Very good. Okay, Deuteronomy 16:15 says, for the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. So your hands are blessed. That means everything you touch is going to prosper. Everything. Everything. Every place we go, everything we do. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to lift, I'll lift you up to George. George just got cataract eye operation and pray that his eyes will be completely and thoroughly healed. There's 2025. Okay. So, Lord, we thank you for George, that his operation worked and he can see. He's not going blind like I told him. And, Lord, you made a way that seemed to be no way, and it all worked out in Jesus' name. Thank you for that vision. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you can't stand in that, I'll be okay if you want to sit. Go ahead, sit. Take it easy. Okay. We're almost done. Well, as we're waiting, let me pray for all the sick. And Lord, we just cover everyone that isn't here today or that is here, and family members and friends that are experiencing any kind of sickness, Lord. Lord, we just cover everyone in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your healing touch into everyone. We send your healing word into everybody's bodies, and by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Thank you, Lord. We send comfort and peace to Deja's family. Lord, as her uncle, passed away, and Lord, we just thank you that the family is at peace and everything is going to work out on in that situation. And Lord, we just pray also for Nick and his family as they're doing a funeral this weekend for his mom. And Lord, I thank you that everything there will work out also in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll receive it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for increase. Lord, we thank you that these chairs are going to be filled one day to overflow, and we're going to be wondering how we're going to take care of all these people. And Lord, we thank you for that. I am grateful. I have a grateful heart. Like Brad said, we have to be grateful for what we have. I am grateful for you guys, that you're faithful. And thank you for that. But I am thankful for you guys. And you're always in my thoughts. I'm always caring for you. And that's, I guess, a pastor's heart, right? Shepherd. And a friend. Yes. We're all friends. We're family, right? We'll be spending eternity together. We better like each other. Wonder whose house we're going to be neighbors to. You ever think of that? Who's going to be our neighbor? You want to be in the woods? I like the woods. I like the beach, too. I think I'll have two places. Even if they're cottages, I'll be happy. Yeah. Backyards, mountains, and woods, and the front yard is beach. Ooh, yeah. Crystal Sea, no sharks. Yeah, it's good to dream, right? Amen. Okay, I'll lift up this basket to you, Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you that you receive our tithes and offerings this morning, Lord, and that you're already blessing back your people. And Lord, you love us so much that you take care of every one of our needs, Lord. We thank you for healings. We thank you for providing. We thank you for being our deliverer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes. Okay, I think I have enough light on to see. I'm going to make some announcements. Just so everybody knows, Peter Appleton will not be here next week. He was supposed to come from Wales, and we got a text he was coming, and then the next day we got a text he didn't feel well. So he decided not to come. So he is 86 years old. So, and that's a really long plane flight from Wales to here. So I guess he didn't want to take that chance, right, Jim? We're a little disappointed, but it's okay. Okay, let's see. Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have our afternoon prayer time. Please come out if you are free and join us. It's an awesome time, and it's different every week, right? We pray, but things just happen in our prayer time. It's amazing. So anyway, all our messages are recorded and posted on our website, tfhcf.org. Okay, October 5th, Sunday, 10:30. It's coming around, 2 more weeks. And that's Rob Radosti. He already told us that he was coming. He rented a vehicle, and he'll be here. Of course, his family can't come with him unless something miracle happens financially. But right now, it's just going to be him. He doesn't know about the surprise celebration luncheon that we're going to have. And I need everyone to sign up, and so he'll see it when he gets here. We're still going to have him preach, of course. And that's because that's exactly that day is 18 years ago that he was launched out of the Father's house. I know, 18 years ago, which was 2008, something like that. Yeah, it's a long time ago. So we're asking you to sign up on the back table. Eve has the list. The what? Clipboard. Thank you. The clipboard up. So don't forget to, you know, sign up so we know how many are coming, and to bring a cover dish, please. Okay, and then November 2nd, Sunday, Ed Callens will be back with us. And then December 7th, Dean Braxton is coming. And then 2026, which is crazy, February 1st, Sunday, 10:30, Dennis Renier will be back with us. She fell?
I fell in the bathroom. I had a hard time getting up. I really hope it didn't mess up my knee. I think I just pulled the muscle in a way it doesn't like.
Right now, we'll pray. Lord, we lift up Dawn to you right now, Lord. We cover her in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we cover her knee right now, Lord, that she didn't do any damage to any part of her body, including her knee, Lord. We come against any pain right now in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for her to get back to health in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask that you keep those angels around her at all times so she doesn't fall in Jesus' name. Yeah, all fall assignments, we cancel you out now. This has got to stop in Jesus' name. Enough is enough. Okay. Well, today we're going to do something a little different too. Only because we're going into a new season, okay? We're leaving the Hebrew year 5785, and it's closing out tonight. Tonight is September 21st at 6. And tomorrow we're entering into the season, the new year of 5786. So I'm going to be playing a video from Chuck Pierce called 29 Days of Elul, E-L-U-L. And I'll tell you what that means in a minute. But it's a corporate message for the church, what I felt was very important. So to introduce you to what E-L-U-L is, Elul, it is 29 days from August, it started August 23rd to September 22nd. It comes before Rosh Hashanah. It's the Hebrew, Rosh Hashanah is the new Hebrew year. It's a month, the E-L-U-L, it's a month of reflection and repentance. It's in preparation for the High Holy Days, which is around 10 days starting tonight, of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the new year, like I said, is 5786. Now I'm going to be teaching on that next week, and it's very interesting. They're called, the rabbis, the Messianic rabbis and the teachers are calling it the year of change, the year of new beginnings and divine connections. That is very promising, guys. And after the video, we're going to partake in communion for cleansing ourselves so we can go into this new season. Amen? So let's hear what Chuck has to say to us right now.
Such a key time. Now, I welcome all of you that are joining in, that have never joined in. I welcome everyone that's here that doesn't always get to be here. Now, because see, this month is about the troops arising. All through the Word of God, you see a phrase about the troops arising. And I want you to fully understand this month because it is so key in how we move forward. We're living in the battle this year, halfway through, and we're already beyond halfway in this era. We're in a year of supernatural grace. Throw your hands up and say, I need all I can get, Lord. He gives it to us without, God will just pour out grace on you. You can't pay for it. But when you worship Him, grace begins to flow, and from grace flowing, you wear favor. Now, I decree we are going out in this last month of the Hebrew. It's really the last month. It's the sixth month where man has to shift. And it readies us to go into the dearest month, the head of the year, and celebrate. This is how God made His calendar. And so this month, look at somebody and say, I'm going to shift in some places I've not shifted. Say it this way, there's some places in me that need to move that haven't moved. I remember telling Pam, Miss Pierce, stand up. We are so glad you're with us on this first trip. I remember me telling Pam one time, you know, I really need to lose weight. And God says we can speak to the mountain and it will move. And she said, the Lord's telling you to move the mountain. Now, something's going to shift that hasn't shifted in you. Now, confess it. Confess it with your mouth. That's what the whole era is about. You saying what you need, because here's the reason we're headed into 5, 7, 8, 6, and that's about staking your claim. Say out loud, I've got an inheritance. That means you have a portion, but your portion is going to start coming into its new boundaries this month. Now, first fruits is so important because it reminds us that the source of all of our blessing, where it's coming from. Listen, I don't have one thing that doesn't belong to Him. And then I try to use what He's given me. That's called the law of use. And then I try to get the law of multiplication to kick in. Now, that's the way you need to look. If you see that He is the source of everything you touch, you'll begin to multiply in new ways. And first fruit disciplines us in seeking the kingdom first. See, seeking the kingdom first means this: you're not distracted on everything else that you need. The kingdom does not operate on needs. The kingdom operates on the source that you've been given to multiply. Put your hand right here. If you know Him, the kingdom of God is within you. And see, we have a need mentality. And this month, our need mentality needs to break. Now, and so it also, in Revelation, it addresses first fruit with this: from it stirs up our first love again. Some churches can do everything right, but then they lose their first love. They just do everything right. That is not love. First love means you stir up that passion and that mystery of what you've been offered and the relationship that you've been given. You know, one good thing about our relationship of 52 years is that, you know, I've traveled so much. We have so many different interests that our first love stays kindled. It's like we have a renewed relational date over what all God is doing in our life. Now, that's really important. And the good thing about celebrating first fruits is what I said last week. It is preparing you for a gathering mentality. It is preparing you that there will a time come when there is a gathering in your life and a fulfillment that you have never experienced before. It's an incredible, incredible dynamic. That brings us to Elul. Elul, this month, has been given to us so that we can gain access each day, so we change and step into the year ahead. In other words, the king is in the field, so you can go to him and approach him and say, I want this in me to reflect you. And so, Robert Heidler, don't miss yesterday. We'll be rerunning it all week. And it's really important you get this month. Now, let me give you 6 points about this month that are really important. This month is about an announcement. Brian, you're going to have to leave back there and run up here. Elul is about you listening every day. Now, I'm saying this for a reason, because possessing your inheritance and getting ready to stake your claim is about a discipline of you seeking. So the disciplines of God have to kick in some way in your life. I think a lot of times we want everything God has for us. How many of you don't want everything that the Creator created for you? But it's going to take spiritual disciplines, and I've written about those and I've taught about those. Meditation is the first one. It's going to take you meditating day and night on his word so you succeed. So the best thing to do is to get up, spend time, and get what he's saying to you. Now, what he's saying to you is not particularly what he's saying to me until he says, deliver this message corporately. And he chooses some of us to speak corporately so that all hear what he's saying. But daily, I just seek him and I'm involved with it. And so this month is about announcement. In understanding the Hebrew understanding of this month, every day this month, the shofar is blown. See, we're used to once a year beginning Rosh Hashanah with the Feast of Trumpets and the shofar being blown. That really isn't how it works, and I don't know that I've ever really taught on this till now or spoken on this, but now is important. Look at somebody and say, we're in a now time. So all 29 days of this month, or 28 days of this month, the shofar is blown. And the shofar is heaven's instrument that sounds and goes into your inner being that causes you to be able to see your future. Now, I'm gonna tell the church right now, we were meant to see into the future. And have foresight and foreknowledge. God designed us for that. And you have access to it, and the sound is going to unlock it in a way it's never been unlocked before. Now, I want you all to stand up right now. We're going to begin today blowing this shofar until we get to the Feast of Trumpets. Every day, we'll record it every day, we'll put it on the web for you. We have shofars here. If you want to learn to blow it, this is the month. But it's not about the sound coming from here. It's about what God said to John on Patmos Island, what the Lord said to him. He said, now, John, now that I've shown you where the church is with all of its flaws and all of its blessings and its future, if it will hear what the Spirit's saying, come up here. I want to show you something you haven't ever seen yet. Look at somebody and said, you ain't seen nothing yet. And the Word of God says, look at Robert standing up. Let's clap and thank God for that. Doris doesn't have to stand up. She just gets faster and faster when she drives. Now, and he said, he heard a sound like a trumpet from heaven calling him into the future, and then God revealed to him everything we're going through today. You can read about it. Put your hand right here and one on your head. You are going to start unlocking something in you that has never unlocked. The Spirit of God is going to show you something you couldn't see yesterday. That's how supernatural this is. After seven times, something starts to fall in you. It's the Jericho principle. Look at somebody and say, the Jericho principle is going to work in my life this month. You can be seated again. See, when you give in this month, I want you to know what you're investing in your life. All of you on the web, it is so key. Now, so once that announcement comes, you have to get into a place to receive. And receive revelation daily. Now, I had a difficult time in my own person starting Thursday with various things I had to go through physically. And the Lord said, I want you to read all the parables. It's about time you got it. Point it in and say, you're still going to go to heaven. Now, she was with Alabama. That we sent that huge group to Alabama. Now, you have to discipline yourself to receive revelation daily. Revelation uncovers. It's going to show you something you couldn't see. And so the Lord told me, I want you to read the parables. It's 38 of them. And after you read them a couple of times, and I've read them hundreds of times, but after I read them a couple of times, God started revealing things to me. He's going to reveal things to you about you now. So I want to encourage you, and we'll send this out tomorrow, a list of the parables, and I want to encourage you to read at least one a day. Because Jesus used them because they couldn't get it just by trying to understand the word. So he used a parable to help them understand what he was saying to them. The disciples, the Pharisees, they have both asked him, why do you keep speaking in parables? And he said, because you can't get it any other way. Now, I want you to say out loud, I'm going to get it this month. Now, Elul is also about resistance. Resist the devil and he will flee. That is an active thing in you. That is an action in you. And Elul, in the Word of God, if you want to read it, you can read the book of Nehemiah, because the people had come out of a huge mess, gotten back, and Nehemiah had led them, and in Elul, the wall around Jerusalem had been completed. Now, that's what Elul is about, you creating a new wall or a new boundary so you can stake your claim next year. And I was afraid if I didn't say that, you were going to enter into the year just like you've entered into it. This month, you're creating your wall. Now, he didn't hang the gates, but he got the wall in place, and he had watchmen and workers. Some were watching, some were working. And I think you can operate in either one of those places in your life at certain times. Elul is about a transference. How are you going to transfer everything in you? And I am going to discuss this in a moment. That isn't lining up correctly into the hands of the Lord. And then this transference, if you operate in it daily, he's going to transfer blessings to you. But I want you to understand, without understanding resistance, the enemy doesn't want you to transfer things into you that need to be transferred. And I don't want you to think this month is without intense resistance. Because the minute they, Tobiah and Sanballat and that group couldn't deter him from finishing the wall, what happened was they began to send accusations against him to try to divert those that had watched what God had done in the last year, to try to divert them from the testimony of it. That's how the accuser works. The accuser is going to tell you God's holding out something on you. The accuser is going to make up things that play off your fear and make you unsound. He'll make it up. If you can ever get past fear that creates a wrong reality in your life, when Satan speaks to you, you can really hear him. Because see, fear distorts your reality. The only way you can do that is discipline yourself and keep your mind stayed on him. So, the month of Elul is about watching. You're going to have to daily watch, as the word says, at the gate. Your gate. But Elul, at the end of it, see, the last planting for this season should have occurred after the 9th of Av, and you should start getting ready to gather last season's crops. And Pam's already getting ready to plant next season's crops. And then you go into the next phase of it next month. Now, that gives you what God is trying to do in you this month. Put your hand on somebody and say, I think I'm just going to submit. Now, let me end. I do want to leave something with you. Now, communion is another key weapon for you. This month, the king is in the field. And so what we did, Lisa got for us for communion, the Jerusalem Vineyard wine. I mean, because we're supposed to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem daily, so if you're communing, it's the Word of God says, if you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you'll have peace. So every day that you commune, you become wholer. See, he already sees you whole. But in that, you're going to have to seek him daily for the wisdom to put pieces together. All right? Now, so first fruits is also about you gaining confidence. Put your hand on somebody and say, be confident. That is a faith word. He's going to provide what you need. See, seeking. Now, need and want are two different emotions. First fruits is about an expectation that during this month you'll be visited. It's about the process of watching your inheritance come into its formation for your future. And it's about a final ingathering that you're pressing toward. There is a time word that you press forward in every day. Plethora. It means fullness. You have to press toward fullness. And that's what this month is about. But this month is also about that window that's been over you all year. It's open this month for repentance. Now, I want you to understand repentance today. Repentance is not a word you shy away from. Repentance means I'm changing my path for the better. I'm turning away from certain thoughts I'm having that want to lead me away into a wrong path, and I'm changing my path for the better today. Repentance, and this whole month is about it, and that's why the king is in the field. Repentance gives you an opportunity to experience and embrace loving kindness. He is good. We sang it. And this month wants you to really recognize his goodness and loving kindness. Now, here's the things about repentance that will help you. Repentance begins with forsaking sin patterns and cycles. You're going to have a forsaking moment. Now, that's a word for you to remember. And you're going to have to say, that pattern that I'm involved in is going to lead me into a wrong dimension of release if I don't forsake it. I remember asking a friend of mine who was he was our Sunday school teacher, he was a deacon with me. We worked together, we vacationed together, and the Lord told me, and he left his wife, and they said they were separated. And the Lord told me one morning, he's having an affair with his secretary. And so I went to him privately and I said, listen, he had the best two kids ever. Everything going for him. He was a vice president. And I went to him and I said, are you aware where this path's gonna lead you? And he said, yes. And I said, are you aware how much you're going to lose from staying on this path? He said, yes. He said, but the gratification of it is too great for me to give up. That's not repentance. A lot of people say, how do you detect a sin that you have? I call it the too much principle. You eat too much. You know when one more bite, you've eaten too much. You drink too much. One more drink where you should have let it go. And then there's that other person. I hope they get what they deserve. You're going to have to repent for that. Because without the grace of God, you could be there. And yes, that doesn't take away the emotions of somebody in your life who's acting like the biggest, most terrible thing. I don't want to use words that come to my mind. But you want them to only receive what God has for them. Repentance causes your emotions to regret. See, you have to. Pam told me once. I said, "Well, you know, I don't operate in a lot of regret." She said, "Until you do, you haven't repented." There comes. You don't live in regret, but you have to recognize the moment that you deviated from the best that God offered you, and you have to look and say, "Gosh, why did I do that? Lord, don't ever let me do that again." See, you have to regret that you did an action that didn't align with His character. Repentance has to be acknowledged verbally. Now, the Bible says that confess your faults to one another. We don't see lots of healings and miracles because we don't repent. Confess your faults one to another and be healed. So, it's a requirement that once you have forsaken and once you have really seen what a screw-up you've been, that you confess it to somebody. I've watched my kids repent. I've watched me repent. I used to think the only two that ever repented were Linda and I. And it's because I think, Linda, it's because we had such a base of the Word that we knew when we deviated from it. We knew when we didn't align up with the Word. Repentance isn't about you just doing something that somebody else doesn't approve of. Repentance is about you changing a destructive pattern that's going to keep you from the best. That's the way to look at repentance. Everybody say, "He has the best for me. I'm going to change to get the best." And that's where strongholds come in. I'll have Kay do something for us again. But strongholds come in because you develop this pattern, and before long, it's built up a blockage in your thought process. And therefore, the truth can't get through it, so you see clearly. Now, here's what I want to end with. Repentance is about forgiveness and reconciliation. This is the month of repentance. Forgiveness is linked with giving. Forgive. And without you releasing forgiveness, you can't repent. Forgiveness releases. John 20, it was what the Lord commissioned those he had been teaching for 3 years to go do when he shifted them from being learners to apostles. There comes a time you're not learning anymore, you're sent into action. And see, we're in an apostolic season where we're being sent, but he then told them, everyone you forgive will be forgiven. Everyone you release forgiveness toward, I'm going to release them. And then he said, everything you retain will be retained. See, unforgiveness is like water weight. You'll blow up, people. You'll swell up. Look at somebody and say, I don't want to swell up this month. I got a little sound going. Now, and here's the last thing I want to help you with. The Bible says we can go 490 times and release forgiveness. 7 times 70. And you say, well, I have asked forgiveness so many times to this one person, and they won't receive it. Well, you know what is going to happen to them? They're going to blow up. Because you released it. And if they want to keep it, they're going to enter into one of two things. Vengeance or resentment. It's what the Word of God shows you. If you won't forgive, the only thing on your path is vengeance. It will work you all the way into having a murderous spirit. And it will cause you to resent and envy and covet everything else someone else has.
That's 5 minutes or 3 minutes. She's trying to take the notes. I'm going to put the light
on. You'll swell up. Look at somebody and say, I don't want to swell up this month. I got a little sound going.
Yeah.
Now, and here's the last thing I want to help you with. The Bible says we can go 490 times and release forgiveness. 7 times 70. And you say, well, I have asked forgiveness so many times to this one person, and they won't receive it. Well, you know what is going to happen to them? They're going to blow up. Because you released it. And if they want to keep it, they're going to enter into one of two things, vengeance or resentment. What the Word of God shows you. If you won't forgive, the only thing on your path is vengeance. It will work you all the way into having a murderous spirit. And it will cause you to resent and envy and covet everything else someone else has.
Okay, that ends that. Okay. You know what else I got? When Jesus said in the scripture in Luke, where it says, give generously, and before he even says that, he says, forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. I wonder if that has something to do with our giving. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts and we're continually giving, but we're not seeing the results of our giving. I wonder if that has something to do with it. That's just a thought I got. I'm just putting it out there. So we're supposed to forgive over and over and over and over. So, wow, even I was going to ask Brad to come up and help give out the yes. Oh, hold on.
When you said that, I got an image of a funnel, and God wants to pour all these blessings in there, but the unforgiveness was there first, so it's blocking the funnel from the other stuff to come through.
So that blocks our blessings from coming back to us when we have unforgiveness in our heart. So, let's see. Jim and maybe Steve, can you help give out the elements today? Thank you. And let's just take this time right now to just reflect. If there's anything that the Lord, if the Holy Spirit's showing us, Jim, let me take a cracker. So that's all right. You know, there may be things that, you know, we always look at, let's forgive others, okay? But what about forgiving yourself? What about forgiving a circumstance that happened? What about forgiving God? Blaming God for something that happened? You know, we have to, God really wants us to really clean ourselves out, right? In this season, because he's got some really good things. As I was studying, I'm getting excited. I mean, last year, you know, the past few years, as I was studying all the different Hebrew years, I kept feeling, you know, this excitement. But this year, I really feel like everything that we've been praying for and believing for, it's a brand new beginning in our life. It's like a brand new chapter. We turn the page, and this is it. We're starting new. He's going to just pour out like he never poured out before. Everything that we've been praying for, our family, our friends, seeing people healed, delivered, saved, signs, wonders, and miracles, seeing, you know, Easton saved, revival, all these things that we've been believing for, and the enemy has been attacking us violently. And it has been a struggle. It's been really, you know, he's been hitting anything that he can hit. Yeah, I got one. Thanks. Here, I'll help you out here. So, let's just take a moment right now and just ask the Holy Spirit. He just wants to clean the slate up. Thank you, Lord. Eric, if you want to play a little bit of soft music, maybe, just a little bit in the background and keep it up. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. just look at me if you're done so I can move forward. I don't want to go fast, so. Father, we just come before you right now, and we just thank Jesus, first of all, that he died on the cross so that all our sins could be forgiven as we ask for forgiveness. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the eternal life that you've given to us as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We thank Jesus for everything he took on his body. He gave his body freely for us so we could be healed. Inside and out. We thank you for that blood too that he shed for us so we could be totally healed. By his stripes we are healed. And all the blood that covers a multitude of sin and this power in the blood. Anything that comes against us, it's covered under the power of the blood of the Lamb. So, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul reminds us that Jesus said, remember all the things I just said. It said, take it and eat your fill. It is my body which has been given to you. Do this to remember me. And that's what this piece, little piece of cracker symbolizes. So let's receive that and thank him for his body that was freely given to us. And then he said, he did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. The new covenant. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, poverty, sickness, and death. And we walk in this new covenant, and we have all the right, and we are co-seated with him in heavenly places. And therefore, we have total authority on this earth. We rule and reign with him. So remember this. This cup seals the new covenant in his blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this cup, do it to remember Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for healing our body, our minds, all our traumas, everything that we have gone through. It's in the past now, right? We're going to walk out of here in the new chapter. New life, new beginning, right? Let's look forward to that 5786 and see what God is going to do. I'm excited. Stay healthy. Listen to the Holy Spirit every day. Isabel, are you okay? We were wondering if you were all right. Can you come up a minute? Did you fall? Oh, okay. Because Dawn fell. Okay. Are you okay, though? Did something happen? What? Oh, her emotions. Okay, stretch out your hands to her right now. Father, we just cover Isabel in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now for Isabel. We thank you, Lord, that you washed her in the blood. You covered her. Give her freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your compassion. Okay. Maybe you should go take communion. Okay, go ahead. You don't want to miss out. Thank you, Jesus. So if anybody wants to watch that video again, it's on YouTube. It's called 29 Days of Eul. Okay? And if you need to watch it again, so it's easy to get. Okay? 29 Days of Eul, Chuck Pierce. And you can watch it. And next week I'm studying all about I'm looking at different messianic rabbis and teachers that are talking about 5786. I'm looking at the ones that it's been pretty consistent on what they're saying. So I'm going to put all that and look at it prophetically, see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And it's really good, guys. Okay? Well, have a blessed week. And stay healthy, strong. And cover everybody in the blood every day. And you have authority over the enemy. Don't allow the enemy to take over anything. In Jesus' name. Amen? Blessings. What? Oh, produce in the back today? Oh, Jim says there's produce in the back. So go back there and get your blessings. And if anybody wants to drink some more juice or crackers, there's plenty left. Need some more blood? Okay. If the altar